Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman. Coming today to Colossians 3:14, we come to the subject of love. Christians, loving. As Christ loved us, and as we are commanded by Christ to love others. Here's what we read in Colossians 3:14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. There's really no escaping the New Testament teaching that love is a central requirement for the people of God. And we cannot ignore it simply because it is abused and overused, overemphasized by many people, as in fact it is, and often misunderstood and poorly defined. And that's all the more reason why we should go to the Word of God and understand exactly what it is. No question that there's a lot of sloppy agape out there. There's too much shallow sentimentalism attached to the concept of love. There's much imbalance and neglect of other doctrines when there is an overemphasis upon love. And yet, it is still taught to us in the Word of God. Too often, love is used to trump righteousness and truth, and that's not right. All of this is wrong, seriously and dangerously wrong. And those imbalances and errors certainly do not please God, but neither is God honored if we ignore what He has commanded us about love. If we allow the abuse of love by others to cancel the truth that is taught to us in God's Word. God is honored when we believe and apply all of His Word. Remember the motto that I try to teach you from time to time? The Bible, no more, no less. We don't add to it, we don't subtract from it. We take it as it is and all of what it says. And love is certainly a prominent theme of God's Word. And so, as we gather around the Word of God, once again on this Wednesday, November 30, thanking you, our radio listeners, who help support us for the privilege of doing this, and thanking God for enabling us to carry on this ministry. So we return now to love, which is the supreme attribute for God's people. And that we learn from the early verses, the early words, rather, of verse 14, and verse 14 is a very short text, but it says, above all these things, put on love. Above all these things. That's what indicates this is the ultimate attribute. And indeed, the testimony of Scripture reinforces that in other places. 1 Corinthians 13:13, that great chapter on love, says, as it's wrapping up that chapter, the greatest of these is love. There are other important attributes, but the greatest one is love. Galatians 5:22, that lists the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, lists which one in first place? Love, joy, peace, and so forth. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things have fervent love one for another. And John 13:34, Jesus teaches us that the command to love is a higher standard. And Romans 13:8-10 tells us that love fulfills the law of God. So yes, love is the ultimate attribute of God's people. Above all these things, we read, put on love. Maybe more literally, this reads, upon all these things, put on love. Beyond all these things, a step further, over all these virtues, like an upper garment, above all these things, that is, above the seven attributes described in verses 12 and 13. And any way you look at it, it comes up to the same conclusion. Love is superior to all other spiritual graces, as important as they may be. Putting it all together, we go back to verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do, but above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So yes, love is the ultimate attribute that Christians are commanded to put on, to add to our lives, to develop in our walk with Christ. Love is the ultimate attribute. And why is that so? Well, probably, number one, because it reflects the character of God. The Bible tells us God is love. God's children, therefore, are to be loved, are to love. God's children are Christ-like when they manifest love, for nobody manifested love more greatly than did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love makes the other attributes more gracious, less harsh. Sometimes carrying out the commands of God's Word requires pushing back on sin, requires confronting sin in the lives of others, standing for truth in ways that some people sometimes think is not very Christ-like, but in that, of course, they are wrong. But a full exercise of love will help to soften the edges on some of these things that seem to be harsh. And I'm not saying that there's any way to carry out all that the Bible commands in a way that everybody will agree is appropriate and is never harsh. I can assure you, dear friend, you cannot appease everyone. You cannot get everyone to agree that when you are standing for truth, that you are always doing so in a loving way, even if you are. Many people are not going to agree. But to develop love, to cultivate love, along with the other attributes that are given to us in the Word of God, is very important for us to be able to exercise all of our attributes to their fullest extent, and to stand for all the truth of God's Word to its fullest extent in a way that is as effective as humanly possible in this world. God is love. Of course, God is also wrath. God is holiness. And that's true for God, and that's true for us. We can't say that because God is love, therefore we are love and nothing but love, or nothing but what other people think is love. But the truth of the matter is that a proper understanding of love means that God is loving in His wrath. God is loving in His holiness. Or to put it another way around, because holiness is really a superior attribute to God than even love, would be to say that His holiness means that He exercises holy love as well as holy wrath, holy indignation, holy opposition to sin. He is holy in all of these things, always holy in His exercise of love, but always holy in His exercise of everything else. But love, we are to develop love. Again, verse 14, but above all these things, put on love. Put on love. Another one of these put on statements. Remember, earlier in the chapter, a number of things to put off. Now, in the intervening verses, 12 and 13, seven things to put on. But above all these, we are told in verse 14, put on love. And that means we need to review once again, and I'm sure we've done it before, but let's review once again what exactly is involved in this word love. The word love that is found here is the well-known Greek word agape, by far the most frequently used word for love in the Greek New Testament, and a word that is rare outside of the Greek Testament. It is so rare that for a long time, Bible scholars thought that it might have been a word that was coined only for New Testament vocabulary, that it did not exist outside of the New Testament in Greek language, but eventually they uncovered secular sources where this word is used, but it is so rare in Greek, and yet so common in the Greek Testament. The Holy Spirit of God has picked up a word, a very uncommon word in the Greek language and culture, and made it the most common word for love in the New Testament scriptures. And it is a word that describes a kind of love that is volitional and active and self-sacrificing. And let's break those words down so that we understand what we're talking about. When we say that agape love is volitional, we mean that it is a decision to love. We're not talking about an emotion. We're talking about a choice, a decision. This love is volitional. When we say that agape love is active, we mean that it involves doing something. It involves action and activities. It is an action verb. In those cases where it is in fact a verb, of course it also has noun forms and so forth, but it is an action. It is a decision to do something to benefit others. In our thinking, as the word love is so commonly used today, we tend to think of it more in terms of an emotion, of a feeling, of sympathy, of kind thoughts, and yes, sometimes attach it to deeds, but that almost comes towards the end of how we think of love. But the Bible word for love puts all of this at the beginning. If there is an emotional element, that comes at the end. That trails along behind. I'm not saying that there is no emotional element, but I'm saying that's not the first thing that we should think of when we're thinking about the New Testament concept of love. It is a decision to act on behalf of others. And a third word that I mentioned was self-sacrificing. Of course, acting on behalf of others, doing for others, giving to others would suggest sacrifice. But let's emphasize that. This kind of love, agape love, is a sacrificial love. Now, where do we find all of this? Take the most famous verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There we see that his love, and again that's agape love in that verse, is first of all volitional. It is a decision. God was not overcome with love because we were so lovely. Not at all. God so loved that he gave. He chose to do that. He decided to do that. It was his choice. That love was an active love. God so loved the world that he gave, that he did something to benefit the ones that he had chosen to love. And to say that it is a sacrificial love goes without saying, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is a description of agape love. Now go and do likewise. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.